Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are such an awesome God. And we thank you that you are our daddy. That we are your children. And we thank you that you delight in each and every one of us. And that you call us by name. And you call us by name because you created us and because you know us. You know when we sit, when we lie down. You know no matter where we go, we cannot flee from your presence. And we just pray now, Holy Spirit, come and move in us. Open our ears to hear your word and transform us. And may we grow to know you and to hear you, to encounter you and to recognize you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time I shared, I started a new series on called Encounter. Now, last Sunday we weren't here. The previous Sunday, Chris shared at the beach, and that was fantastic, about choices. And we then had three testimonies of people being baptized and the choices they made. And I think the two good things go hand in hand is the whole area of encounter and the area of choices. It says in the book of James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Which blows my mind that by me taking that step of drawing towards God, the most high, eternal God himself responds and will actually draw near to me. I don't know about you, but that blows me away. And today, I'm wanting to explore this whole area of not just big time encounter, but encountering God's voice. And I want to explore another person's encounter with God to see what we can learn. But this person's encounter came about through how he was positioned as a child by his parents, and most notably by his mom. His mother's name was Hannah. And those who have been around church circles long enough will be thinking, oh, I know who it is you're talking about. Samuel. Yes. So his mother is Hannah. And she was unable to have children, but knew God and worshipped him. And on one occasion, when pouring her soul to God, she said, God, if you would give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you for all the days of his life. And God heard her heart, and he blessed her with a son, Samuel. And once Samuel was weaned and old enough, though still very young, Hannah took him to the house of the Lord and gave him back to God. She dedicated him to serve God. By honoring God and giving her child back to God, she positioned Samuel to encounter the living God. That's what we've done today with this dedication. Is it's the parents are choosing that what the children they have received are gifts from God. But rather than grasp and hold on to their children, they're choosing to give their children back to God. And by doing that, they are positioning their children in a place to encounter the living God. I don't know about you, but that blows me away. So I'm wanting to pick up the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm even going to read it out of one of these old-fashioned paper things. So if you've got, it'll come up on the screen as well, but if you've got your Bible, turn to it. And let's read through this story. And let's glean what we can of what God wants to say to us about how we can hear God's voice and encounter him. So starting the first one. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes had become so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel!" And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." A bit crazy, isn't it? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel!" And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. See, I am doing a new thing." Amen. Almost after reading that whole passage, slightly going back to my COV background of, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are four things that I'm wanting to draw out for those who write notes. This 4-point sermon, not quite 3-point, but points. So 4 points that I want us to learn about encountering God's voice when God called Samuel. The first point is learning the voice of God. Samuel didn't know God's voice was actually God's voice at first. He had to learn it. You pick that up? God spoke to Samuel on 3 occasions, actually 4, but 3 occasions at first. And each time, he thought it was Eli calling to him. Eli the priest. And he got up 3 times, each time believing that. And it takes some time to learn what is and what isn't God's voice. When you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within you. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we gain the ability to hear from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12 says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. When what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." Wow. It's a bit like a relationship, you know. We need to learn to listen, to identify the voices. When you first meet somebody, they speak to you. You don't recognize the voice. But after having conversation, after conversation, after conversation, you know, a person phones you up on your phone. And yeah, in these days with mobile phones, it tells you who's calling. But, you know, in the old fashioned days when it didn't, you'd listen and they would speak. And common enough, it'll be, "Hi, it's me." Now, who's me? Hopefully, you can recognize it. And if you actually think it's somebody else and start the conversation thinking it's somebody else, it can go slightly pear-shaped sometimes. Especially if it is like your mother. Yeah, don't go there. So you have to learn how to discern a clear message. It takes time and practice, and sometimes we can mishear and we can make mistakes. But as our relationship grows, our recognizing God's voice grows. Second point is God is patient with us. Samuel didn't know God's voice right away, but God kept calling Samuel until he listened. You know, first time round, he called to Samuel. Samuel went off to Eli, and God didn't take the hump thinking, you know, okay, right, I'm out of here. I've given you a chance now. I'm out. I'm going to try somebody else. He doesn't work like that. It says, you know, the first thing that God identifies himself is that he is gracious and compassionate, full of love and abounding in grace. That he is patient with us. He is loving. He desires that communication with us. He desires to for us to hear him. He desires that. And he will invest the time in that. And he will keep speaking to us in patience. God will give us second and third chances to hear from him. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me." Wow. Just as a sheep learns the shepherd's voice, we will eventually learn our good shepherd's voice as well. God will keep calling and knocking until we do. Psalm 37, 23-24 says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." There's two parts to that. One part is that he will make our steps firm. Who? Those who delight in him. There's two sides to it. We need to delight in God. We need to have that bubbling, overflowing desire to draw near to him. And guess what? He will draw near to us, and he will ensure we do not stumble. Even if we turn down wrong directions, God will bring us back onto the right path as long as we keep delighting in him and seeking him. He will direct our path. He will uphold us with his hand. He will protect us. But we must value that voice by making time in our busy schedules to hear him. We also need to be still, to step away from the world's noise and distractions. You know, you're busy, and you say, God, why aren't you talking to me? Yeah. You know, if you're wanting to invest in a relationship, you don't just disappear off and just spend all your time working and never invest in that relationship. It's not going to work, is it? You need to invest in the relationship, put in time in the relationship, and then guess what? You will hear more. You will feel more connected in that relationship. If you spend all your time away, that relationship won't work. Mother Teresa puts it this way: listen in silence, because if your heart is full of other things, you cannot hear the voice of God. Amen. Did you know that in the Bible, God rarely shouts but regularly whispers? God rarely shouts but regularly whispers. Why? Because he's not far off, but he desires to be close and intimate, to have those whispers in our ears, because he wants to be close. So provide space away from noises and distractions to listen for the whisper. Amen. Third point, counsel from others helps us to discern. Eli knew that Samuel had never heard God's voice before, so he helped him to realize what was happening. Yes, it took him, you know, being woken up by Samuel on three occasions before he eventually got there, but he did then direct Samuel because he realized what was happening. And sometimes we need other people to help us to know if something is God's voice. 1 Samuel 3:9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I love that phrase. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Just breaking it, speak. That you're actually asking God to communicate with you. Lord, that you are actually recognizing God as master, as Lord, as commander, as one to be obeyed. Your servant. You are positioning yourself in that place of humility as the one belonging to God, as the one who can be directed by him, as the one who will wait on God's every command. It's listening. An active, attentive listening. It's not, you know, have you ever had it with kids, you know, where you're speaking to them and asking them to do something, and they say, you know, I heard you. And you're just like, yes, you may have heard me. You're not listening to me. And that's what's happening. It's the challenge to us is, are we saying, yeah, I heard you, God. And you just carry on doing your own thing. That's not what is being taught about here. The word listening in the Hebrew here conveys hearing to obey. To hear, to obey. Wow. So here we have Eli saying to Samuel, to say to God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That your servant is ready to obey. God speaks in many ways. Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible and will highlight verses. He will also speak through circumstances in our lives, counsel from other people, a peace deep within our hearts, other people being obedient to share something with us, pictures, dreams, visions, our thoughts, nature, and even miracles. We read in Acts 16, just where God's directing Paul and others as they journey. And it says, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Perga and Galatia and having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. How on earth did the Holy Spirit stop them? When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Okay. God's again restricting them, stopping them from moving into something. In our minds, we'll be saying, why on earth are you stopping us? Because there are people that need to hear the message of Jesus. Yet, the Holy Spirit was directing them in different ways. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Wow. So you see there how it's working, that they're trying to do things, but they're having that attentiveness to the Holy Spirit of saying, God, where are you wanting us to go? They're trying one thing. The Holy Spirit says, no, not there. They try the next place. The Holy Spirit says, no, not there. During the night, get given a vision. This is the place to go. Wow. That's how exciting it is when we start listening to God and being directed by him. God can speak directly. He withers through, as I say, impressions, words, pictures, the Bible, prophecy. The problem is learning what God's voice sounds like. There are three different voices we can hear at different times. God's, our own desires, or the voice of the enemy. The challenge is how do we discern which voice it is? Testing to make sure it's God's voice is therefore necessary. So I'm going to throw out some ways we can test this. First of all is, does it actually line up with the Bible? That's a simple one. God will not contradict himself. The question there is do we actually know what the Bible says? Because how can the Holy Spirit bring to mind things in the Bible if we've never actually opened up the Bible? Okay? And we get to a point where we can actually say, that does not sound like Jesus speaking because of what he has said in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and leading in all righteousness. We get a sense in our inner being, our knower, that the source is not from our emotions and thoughts. It can come as a surprise because we may not be aware of some of the information it contains. So, you know, sometimes I've had it where it's like, I've just suddenly been like, okay, that's a bit strange. And I've just got something, a thought coming into my mind that was just completely out there, that I did not know that information. And then I've got to test it, yes. But because it's not from me, it's like, this is either God or something else. So therefore, you've got to test it and weigh it up. But still, you get that sense. Godly counsel, as we saw with Eli, and confirmation from multiple sources. And especially if it's a life-changing decision, don't just go on a whim, is you get godly counsel to get clarity, peace, from God. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of fear. If there is fear involved, if there is confusion involved, it is not from God. God will bring his peace in. There will be joy, even if what he's asking us to do is completely awful and difficult, not awful, but difficult. God doesn't tell us to do awful things, but he tells us to do difficult things. But there will be peace, there will be joy, but also confirmed with godly counsel. It brings God glory and honour, not us. If it's about us, then guess what? Chances are it's not from us, from God. If it brings him honour, then it be from God. And also, if our own intense desires are involved, back up a bit. Because we can talk ourselves into anything. We can also find scriptures, if we know the Bible, to prove anything to ourselves. And that's where godly counsel is needed if our intense desires are involved. Again, I've already quoted the verse from Psalm 37. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Fourth point is obedience follows listening. And we saw this in the story of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, is ready to obey. When God speaks, we first listen, and then we are obedient to what he tells us. When we are obedient, God will know that we are a reliable servant and will therefore speak to us again. Do you know that? We read at the beginning, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In 1 Samuel 3:1. Why? Because of disobedience. Eli's sons were dishonoring God. And because Eli did not remove them from their positions of priests, he was disobeying God. And strangely enough, if people are living in disobedience, then the voice of God will not be coming out awfully much. Yet, when Samuel was obedient, we read in 1 Samuel 3:21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he himself to Samuel through his word. He continued. Because Samuel was obedient, it led to a continued conversation of God sharing his heart. When we are close to God and hearing his voice, we grow into greater intimacy with him. Why? Because we quickly learn that, guess what? Sin impedes our ability to hear from God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they walked and talked with God regularly. They then sinned. Guess what? They stepped away from God out of fear. God hadn't moved, they had. Because they were afraid. So that whole, you know, fear, shame, control. When our consciences are clean, we're in a better place to hear from God. Got a great quote here from Tozer, which I thought I'd throw in, even though it's a little bit, you know, cutting. He's a bit like that sometimes when he was around. It says, most Christians hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. I've got a question for you. If you used to hear God, but you found you are hitting silence, what did God last say to you? Did he warn you against something, or did he ask you to do something? Did he warn you against something, or did he ask you to do something? Sins of commission, sins of omission. Sins of commission, the things that we've done against God, brings a break. Sins of omission, things that God's asked us to do, but we've said no and backed out of, again, causes a divide. Maybe it's time to say sorry to God. Maybe it's time to actually start obeying and maybe even going back to what he last asked you to do or warned you off and actually put it right or to actually start doing what he's asked you. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are you seeking him with all your heart today? You know, I remember once, a number of years back, where I was getting silence, the silent treatment from God. And I decided, I'm going to break through this. I've had enough of this. So I went into my bedroom and I got on my face before God and I said, okay, God, I'm not shifting from this place until I've actually heard from you. Over 3.5, maybe 4 hours later, I was absolutely exhausted and I was absolutely famished. I got breakthrough. But it took until that point to get the breakthrough. Because God was breaking down all of those walls that I had constructed. God was always there. He hadn't shifted. But I'd constructed this, that, and the other as barriers of disobedience, of not doing what he was asking me to do, of all these things that were getting in the way. And God just took me on a journey of repenting, of letting go of things. And it took a long time. Sometimes we need to do that. To the point where we're saying sorry for allowing these things to creep in and bringing our own will back into line with God's will. My heart with his heart. Florence Nightingale put it this way: when we speak with God, our power of addressing him, of holding communion with him, and listening to his still small voice depends on our will being one and the same with his. If we're going in a different direction to God, then we will find that communion gets broken. The challenge is, are we willing to keep on his route for our lives? So today, are you going to position yourself to hear the voice of God? Throwing out another question, like Hannah, do we need to let go of our own securities and desires to position ourselves and also to position those we love to be able to encounter the living God? Do any distractions need removing? And are we giving the time to listen, to test, and to discern God's voice? And are we willing to obey? To listen, to hear, to obey. So Ben's going to lead us in some more worship. And let's just see where God takes us. So let's just pray as we just enter into worship.